All right, so tonight's class is all about healing the inner child. And earlier today I was brainstorming and thinking about what exactly is the inner child, in case anyone hasn't heard of this before or they're not sure what it is. So I wasn't thinking of my own definition. I thought I'd like to see what else is out there, because I bet other people can word it better than I can. So I did an internet search and I found a definition that I really liked about the inner child. This is a two-part definition, and it's from a website that sells flower essences for healing emotions, and it's from www.desertalchemy.com. And what they say is your inner child is, number one, the aspect of one's psyche that is believed to retain feelings as they were experienced in childhood. So I'll read that again. The aspect of one's psyche that is believed to retain feelings as they were experienced in childhood. So that part of you that still feels those emotions that you felt from when you were a kid. And that could include happy feelings, and that could include difficult feelings, or past trauma, or past abuse, past any kind of issues. And the second part of the definition of the inner child, that aspect of your consciousness that is naturally innocent, playful, uncomplicated, and whose approach to life is simple and straightforward. So we have that part of the inner child that's the emotional aspect. You know, those emotions that you still feel, that part of you from when you were a kid. And then, regardless of your childhood background, the inner child is also just that playful part of you, the part that likes to color. Does anybody like to color? I like to color. That's your inner child that likes to color. Adult coloring is really in right now, if you hadn't picked that up. And that's great for your inner child. And I found another quote that was really great, and I'm just going to share this with you. This is from another random website called www.systemsthinker.com. It's systems with an S, thinker.com, and it's just someone's blog who actually, I think he said he was a therapist or a counselor, so that's what his background is. So, this explains it better than I ever could. I was looking for an explanation of, like, why is it important even to explore your inner child? Why is it important? So this is what this blogger says. Who you are today, your strengths, problems, level of self-esteem, habits, is in large part a product of your development. At each age, from birth to toddler to child to adolescent, you were met with certain typical challenges. If your caregivers raised you in a natural way that allowed you to healthily traverse each stage and master the skills necessary to progress, you most likely ended up a well-balanced, confident individual with a strong sense of yourself. However, at any stage, there are countless traumas, big and small, that can occur and keep you from resolving the issues at that stage. Unresolved issues stay with us throughout our lives, expressing themselves in our relationships with ourselves and others. If you have a pattern of unhealthy relationships, low self-esteem, addictions, or other problems, you may well be experiencing the results of unresolved issues from these childhood and adolescent stages, and you might be able to benefit from overcoming that trauma. Okay, so as you can see, the experiences that you had as a child, good or bad, are impacting you as an adult, most likely. Now, you don't have to be imprisoned by your past. Most people have had various different challenges when they were growing up. And so we don't have to stay prisoner to that past. We can process those emotions. We can work with our inner child. We can do empowered things to resolve those unhealed aspects of our inner child. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So tell me, everybody, let's have a little discussion. So why do you think it's important to heal your inner child?
Because the same things keep popping up.
Okay, because the same issues keep popping up. Mm-hmm. And that could be...
That's what I think.
That's what I've seen in my own life, too. Same issues will keep popping up. And usually, a lot of times, it's the point of origin... many times is from our childhood. Sometimes it's an experience that happened as an adult, but many times the original point of origin is from childhood. So why, any other?
I think it's a good idea so you can bring back that sense of playfulness and innocence and, you know, have that kind of a delightful life as an adult.
Yeah, so you can bring back that sense of playfulness and delight, innocence. So you can awaken that happy inner child and not the wounded inner child. There's an author, her name is Carolyn Mace, and her last name is spelled M-Y-S-S, so Carolyn Mace. She teaches all about archetypes. She has some books on archetypes as well. And she actually breaks down the child, I don't remember all the different children that I was reading about in her book, but she has the wounded child, the innocent child. There's the wounded child. There's the happy child. There's different versions of the child. And instead of walking around with that wounded child, let's heal that wounded child and then have and benefit from the aspects of the happy child instead. Okay, so now it's time for you to take a moment and think about any past experiences from childhood that you feel are still impacting you today. Now, with our exercises, this one right now, and then another one that we're going to do in a minute, I'm very clearly not asking you to dive into all of the emotions of it at this time, just to be more in the position of observer. So just lightly noticing, like, okay, I think it's this, I know that issue, and just write it down. Okay, so just jot down a couple of notes right now on your paper. I'll give you a minute or two just to do some writing. And I see that most of you are writing right away, like, you know, there's maybe an issue that keeps coming up. Or even if you don't know what the issue is in your adult life, or a pattern in your adult life, you probably can identify one or more circumstances in your childhood, whether it was one specific occurrence or a pattern throughout your childhood. Let me explain what I mean by the difference. So it could be, as a child, you had one occurrence of having a traumatic car, a scary car accident, or one time of your mom going off the handle and throwing dishes or something. That was terrifying. That was a one-time occurrence, right? That was one thing that happened. Or someone in your family died, okay? And then there's reoccurring things. There's reoccurring patterns, like that maybe one of your parents was an alcoholic or they had mental illness, and maybe there was ongoing violence or verbal abuse or disrespect or not respect for your boundaries. So those would be ongoing issues. Okay, so just take a moment to tap into that. All right. So we're going to just put that on the shelf for right now. We're going to come back to it. And we're going to do a meditation a little bit later to do some healing with one of these issues. So we're just going to symbolically put this list, put this brainstorming on the shelf. And now we're going to talk about some different ways that you can heal your inner child. So we've already identified, you all know, because I've seen you writing, you all know that you've got some wounds, that you've got some of that wounded inner child happening. So how do we heal that? There's a lot of different ways. So grab your pen and we're going to do some brainstorming. I have a list that I wrote down and you may have some other ideas as well. So feel free to chime in on your brainstorming. How do you heal the inner child? The main way is to give her expression. Allow her to express herself. And I'm going to give several examples of how you can allow your inner child to express herself through your adult self. Because you're all adults, but you can allow your inner child to come out and play, so to speak. And speaking of play, one thing that's very beneficial for your inner child is any type of play. So allowing yourself to play board games, any other games besides board games, Uno. You like to play Uno? My sister and I play Uno all the time. Okay, any kind of fun games. Outdoor play, like Frisbee, tossing a ball back and forth. Gosh, I don't know why I just thought of this, but like going on a, you know, if you're adventurous, you could like play on the slip and slide during the summer and play in the sprinkler, like anything that's playful, where there's no agenda to what you're doing.
Shoot basketball hoops,
right. I did think of putting down sports. But like sports in general, I wouldn't consider necessarily child play because you can get into more of a competitiveness. But anything that's just play for the sake of play, like shooting hoops, tossing a baseball back and forth, you know, just swinging on the swings. Oh my gosh, definitely. Yeah, if you like to climb, if you're not afraid of heights, climb a tree, climb a jungle gym, running, climbing, exploring. Coloring. That's my favorite inner child activity right now. And any kind of arts or crafts. Also, dancing, especially crazy dancing. So not dancing like, you know, you're learning ballroom dancing. That's adult. That's your inner adult. Child dancing can be like, turn on music and then you dance crazy throughout your living room. Singing, and again, depending on how you're approaching the singing. If you're like singing opera and being really being serious about your singing, or if you're being silly and you're just singing at the top of your lungs and just having fun, that's going to tap into your inner child. And any way that you can act silly, fool around with your friends, laughing, giggling, joking around. And also, just simply spending time with children. That really helps you tap in with your inner child. And now here, so the list that I gave you so far, that had to do with like activities that a child would do, basically, that help you to tap into your inner child. And now these are, here's a list of some other ways that you can heal your inner child that are not necessarily things that kids would do, but they are very healing. And one of them would be journaling. And the purpose of the journaling would be to write down some of your childhood stories. And I encourage you, don't just write down the trauma stories. Don't just write down the stories of pain. Like, see if you can think of some happy stories too. That's part of the healing process. That's something that I've been trying to do as well. My parents have been passed away for several years now, and now I'm like making it a point to think about I don't have as many positive memories as I do negative ones. And I'm saying, you know, for my birthday, my mom used to do blah, blah, blah. So even if there's only a few positive things, then I think it's important to acknowledge those. So write about those. You can also go to a counselor or a therapist, or just simply talk with a friend. So just like with journaling, I think it's important to not only process the negative events, but also take time to recognize the positive things too. Some of you may be aware of something called flower essences. This came to the top of my mind today because the website I ended up at was about flower essences, and I actually don't have any flower essences in my house right now. It's to show you as an example. But if you write down, if you're not sure what they are, you can write down the word flower essences, and I can tell you where to get them. The way to start, if you have no idea what they are, I would say just go to Whole Foods, go to the supplement section, and ask the person who the staff member there to show you where the flower essences are, and they'll show you. And there's a whole row of bottles. They're little bottles. They're usually little bottles. And the idea is that different flowers have, well, everything in the universe has a different vibration, as well as different flowers. And there was it Dr. Bach, who discovered that different flowers have the ability to help heal certain emotional states like grief or anxiety or anger, heartache. And so he created different essences is what they are. They're actually a liquid, a bottle with liquid in it that has the essence of the flower. So it's has the vibrational frequency of the flower in there. And you just can take like one or two drops of that and put it on your tongue or under your tongue, and you will experience, it's like receiving energy work from, and you're essentially receiving the vibration of that flower. Okay. And these are these are primarily used for emotional healing. There's herbal remedies out there that are great for physical healing. Flower essences, what they're known for is emotional healing. And some of you might feel drawn to use these and some of you might not. So go with what you feel drawn to. And you can even look up what flower essences are. I'm sure you'll find definitions that are a lot more clear. Then another thing that you can do to heal your inner child is you can send healing or Reiki to the past. Some of you in here know how to do Reiki, and some of you not quite yet. And so we're actually going to do an exercise tonight in which we are going to send healing to the past. And you'll be able to do it whether you know how to do Reiki or not. So it'll be a multifaceted approach where if you don't know how to do Reiki, you can do this activity. Even if you're a Reiki master, I'll explain how to add all the extra bells and whistles to it. So you can literally send healing energy to the past. You can send it to your entire childhood, or you can send it to one specific event or a certain number of years. Maybe one year was particularly hard. Okay, any questions about that? Yes.
So when you say child, how old?
Okay. I was going to go over that next. So that's actually perfect. So the question is, when I say child, what age am I talking about? So let's actually go over that right now. This is, there's different age groups. And actually, that's just going to segue us. I'll answer your question, but we're going to put it into this next activity. So before we do our guided meditation, we're just going to take a minute to talk about the different age ranges in childhood. And these age ranges are from a book called The Inner Child Workbook. The Inner Child Workbook by Catherine L. Taylor. Catherine with a C. And she specifies different age ranges. Now, I added another age range. And so the first age range, which is from me, that I added, that's not from her book, is pre-birth, while you're in the womb. Because believe it or not, you were impacted. If your mother was experiencing stress, or if there was fighting or anything like that, you received those stress chemicals. So pre-birth. Next stage of childhood, infant, which is birth to 18 months. Birth to 18 months. Next is toddler, 18 months to 3 years. The next is the young inner child. The young inner child, which is 3 to 6 years old. Three to six years old. And then next is the grade school child, which is 6 to 12 years old. Grade school child. 6 to 12 years old. Now, for the purposes of today, just so we don't have too broad of a scope, we're going to be looking at the inner child from pre-birth to 12 years old. There are some other ages that are listed in Catherine Taylor's workbook, and they're older. So, and you can go ahead and write these down just so you're aware, and you can explore those later ages at a later time if you wish. Young teen, and that's 12 to 15 years old. And adolescent, 15 to 17 years old. And then the young inner adult, which is 17 to 21 years old. And that's the bridge to adulthood. Now, so if you did have some traumas in those teen years, you can save that for later. And then we're going to work on the younger ages. If you don't have anything that needs healing from your younger years, which I think that's like, I can't even imagine that, because just being alive, stuff happens, you know. But if that's the case, you know, this session, as I said at the beginning, you are in charge of your own healing. And so if your system needs to work on teenage years, then go for it. Okay. But I'm going to suggest that we work on the younger years. So I want you to look at this list of the years that we wrote down. And I want you to just see if any age range pops out. Now, as I mentioned before, there may have been a pattern that was occurring through the entire childhood. That could be the case. Or you might identify that, like, everything was fine until you were grade school child. And then blah, 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 right? Then something happened. I'll give an example that for me, I was the youngest child, and I was the youngest of five. And I was the only little kid left at home, and my other brothers and sisters were off at school. So I was kind of babied. I was the baby of the family. Until I hit like school age, 5, 6 years old, and then I was lumped in with the rest of them. When I was being babied, when I was real little, my brothers and sisters were getting abused, but I was being coddled and babied. And then as soon as I got to a certain age, then I started to get it too. So the younger years in my household were pretty decent, right? And then at a certain age, then things started. So that's an example of how things, a pattern may perhaps fall into a certain age range, right? Okay. All right. So now that we've gone over all that information, are there any other questions? Yes.
What would your definition of trauma be?
Well, so what would my definition of trauma be?
And I'll tell you why later.
Okay. Let's see, how do I want to word this? I do have a really clear thought or a clear concept right away when you ask that question. I just have to think of how to word it. Basically, if it traumatized you, then it was a trauma. So one kid may have had an experience and another kid may have had the exact same thing happen to them. One kid gets traumatized. Another one is like oblivious and it's like nothing. They don't even notice it. And that doesn't mean that the child who felt traumatized, that it doesn't mean that they were oversensitive or they were, that there was anything wrong with them. And I'm saying that because I used to be told that, right? So if it was traumatic for you, then it was a trauma. Even if, let's say there's something that happened, I don't think this is what your question is about, but even if it was something that happened that, like, the person, the situation was unintentional and it was traumatic for you. It could have been like a really, you know, little haphazard thing that happened, whatever, that just scared you. So it might not have been someone intentionally doing something. So if it traumatized you, that's a trauma. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I want to be really clear that, that not only with healing our childhood wounds, but in life with various traumas and challenges, that sometimes people will compare. Like, well, it, you know, it's not as bad at, like, well, I didn't have XYZ happen to me, so therefore I don't have the right to be upset about or hurt about this or to be in pain about this thing from my childhood. So I want to encourage you all to not compare. This is not an example about childhood, but this is a more of a broad example. There was one time when I was having a really bad day and I was feeling like I wasn't quite on my correct life path. I was just really unhappy that day. And someone came up to me and said, at least you're not living in a hut. And, you know, but also I think I was saying that to myself too. Like, how dare I be upset? I mean, I live in a nice house and I have da da da. And so I was beating myself up for being hurt about something or having pain about something. And even other people were reflecting that back to me. Like, well, you know, at least you don't live in a hut. Another person said, at least you don't have cancer. You know, and it's like the human tendency. Other people do this, but we do it to ourselves too. We tend to compare and then kind of try to disqualify our pain. So if it has come to mind for you, if a trauma or an unresolved pain has come to mind, then it's valid. It's valid. Okay. All right. Anybody want to add anything to that or ask another question? Isn't that funny how we do that? At least you don't live in a hut. At least you're not living in a hut.
At least you're not living in the gutter.
Thanks. but you know, yeah, it was annoying that that person said that. But we do that to ourselves, too. We tend to try to disqualify our pain. And so we're going to acknowledge any pain that we have so that we can move through it and resolve it, not so we can stay stuck there. Okay? So the next thing that we're going to do is a meditation and healing exercise. But before we do that, I want to give you all an opportunity to stand and stretch and take a very mini break, like 1 minute, 2 minutes, get a sip of water and stretch your legs. In fact, I encourage you to just move out of this room for just a minute. Go into the light. Go into the light. Oh, I know. And then we're going to come back and do a guided meditation.